Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, What Happens on the Last Day?
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, last week we looked at the end times and the last days. This week I'd like to look with you at the last day, the very last day, and see what God teaches us about that for our refreshment. It's good to always put these things before our eyes and before our ears, that they are fresh and clear before us, because they are our great encouragement and joy. We're looking forward to the very last day, and let's take a look today at what is going to transpire. What events can we expect to happen on that day? What does God tell us in His Word about the end of the world and what we are looking forward to as Christians? So what are we looking forward to on the very last day? Number one, Jesus Christ is coming back. Jesus is coming back down from heaven to earth because he is the rightful sovereign king of this world. Remember when Jesus was on trial before the chief priests said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, you have said so, but I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. And so Jesus has personally told us, I am coming back. We're going to expect that event. The first time Jesus came, according to Hebrews chapter 9, it says he came the first time to deal with sin. That's the time we all know about, when he went to the cross to take away our sins. The second time he comes, it is to, quote, save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Are you eagerly waiting for him? This is what we're looking forward to excitedly as Christians. Jesus coming back to save those who are waiting for him. Us. And so this is a great day that we're looking at today. The whole of Scripture testifies to this. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, says Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4. With the archangel's call, he's coming. Philippians chapter 3 says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior. In other words, he's coming back. In 1 Thessalonians 1, we are waiting for his Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead, who delivers us from the wrath to come. The angels testified to the apostles, this Jesus who's taken up from you into heaven is coming in the same way that you saw him go into heaven. So Jesus Christ, friends, is coming back. That is an event that's going to happen on the last day. It's really the whole event. And right before that event, we got to be ready, because there's going to be tough times on the earth. Jesus says in Mark 13, in those days there will be such tribulation as it has not been from the beginning of creation, which God created, until now. No, and never will be. In other words, it's going to be the darkest hour before he comes back in light. So we got to be ready for that dark hour. The sun itself will be darkened. The moon shall not give its light, and the stars shall fall to the earth. Scripture says in multiple places, and there shall be upon the earth distress of nations and perplexity at the roaring of the sea and of the waves. Can you just picture that? The churning up of the oceans of the world. People be afraid at what they're seeing. Men fainting with fear and foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Sort of like the old gold seeker out there in the West would shake his sieve like this and make all the sand to fall out, that only the gold would remain. God is going to shake the heavens and the earth, that the good will remain and the wicked will be shaken out of it. This is a great time, friends, but we need to be ready, for wickedness will be multiplied before that day. Most men's love will grow cold, and Peter says there's going to be scoffers who are going to be crying out against the Christians, saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? Where is your king? For ever since the creation of the world, everything has continued just as it has through all these centuries till now. We've never seen any Christ coming. You Christians are crazy." Well, don't believe him, because the Bible says, and God has declared, that Jesus is coming, and when he comes, he's coming like lightning. In other words, there's going to be a great crack, a loud noise, a boom, and he will appear coming down, and every eye is going to see him. That day is coming soon, that great day, that last day. The very first time he came not in that resplendent glory. He came looking like a lowly person, clothed in human flesh. We couldn't even recognize him as God. He just looked like every one of the rest of us. Remember that great movie I always refer to? I only have watched two or three movies, so I have to refer to this one. But Robin Hood met King Richard when King Richard returned to Sherwood before he went onto the throne. Richard was covered in an outer garb and a cloak and a shroud of a lowly abbeyman, and Robin couldn't recognize him. But because of the urgency of the situation, soon deep in Sherwood Forest, Richard pulls back the outer garb and reveals under it the resplendent golden glory of the emblem of the lion heart, the king. And Robin quickly bows his eyes and his knees to his king. Well, so when Jesus comes back, he's not coming back the way he came the first time, as a lowly baby clothed in human flesh without any beauty. He's coming back in the king in full glorious splendor, and every eye will see him, and all the earth will be astounded at his glory as he comes with a great trumpet call from heaven. So the first thing is, Jesus Christ is coming back on the last day. Secondly, he will command his angels at that time to race through the earth, to run and course through all of the earth to its farthest corners, to gather all people to himself. For they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, Jesus says, and then he will send out the angels, gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. So the angels come down, and the very first thing they do is gather God's own, his Christians, to the king. And then he sends them out, and they gather also the bad, the wicked. For we read in Revelation 14, another angel came out from the altar. The angel has power over fire, and he called with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle. Now a sickle was that knife with which you would harvest the earth. And he said to him, "Put in your sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for its grapes are ripe." Now the grapes here are really the grapes of wrath, or the grapes for wrath. These are the evil ones, namely people who have rejected the king. They also are gathered, for it is the great harvest time. How will these be gathered when people have died? They've died thousands and thousands of years ago. But we read here in Scripture, Paul testifies that he believes there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. That's exactly what Jesus told us in John chapter 5. He says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth." Everybody, that's righteous people, will be raised. Unrighteous, the good and the evil, everybody will be raised and gathered to the king. And our gathering will be so fast, in a split second, in the twinkling of an eye, that when he comes, and he's even on his way down, the Bible says that he will catch us up. In other words, we'll go in swift flight of rapture to meet him as he's coming down, and we will meet him in the airs. So anxious is the king to be with you and with all of his people. He wants to close the gap and bring you to himself forever. What marvelous news we're celebrating in this, the great day, the last day. Then what happens? Jesus is coming back. He gathers all peoples. At this point, number three, also, the very heavens and the very earth pass away with a loud noise. For Peter says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it shall be burned up. Remember that first world, that ancient world, before the flood, was destroyed by water. We're in the world after that. This one shall be destroyed, says Scripture, by fire. It's been stored up for that. What's going to be destroyed on the last day? All that we know. Buildings, world empires, bank accounts, houses, bicycles, every possession, everything that you own, everything, this camera we're taking these pictures with, it's all going to melt before his presence. He's going to level the earth. The earth and the works that are upon it, says Scripture, shall be burned up. Even the heavens themselves will be rolled up like a drape, and the earth will be rolled up like a garment, like old dirty clothes, to make way for a new earth and a new heaven that God has prepared. So that's the third thing. The fourth thing we're to be looking forward to is this, that at that coming, at that great day, Jesus personally will slay the dragon. Now, when you talk about a dragon, it sounds like a fairy tale, doesn't it? But this is no fairy tale. There is a real dragon, you know, at loose in the world, in spiritual places. He is called the devil. He's called the deceiver of the whole world. And man, do we see that everywhere. The world is deceived. They are following after lies, and it's the devil's handiwork. He is the Moriarty, if you want to go with Sherlock Holmes, the arch enemy, the wicked fiend whose fingerprints are on every crime that's ever been seen. But on that day of Jesus' coming, we read this in Isaiah chapter 27. It says, in that day, in other words, the great day, the last day, the Lord, with his hard and great and strong sword, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, the twisting serpent, and he will slay the dragon that is in the sea. This is great news, because right now we're harassed, aren't we? Every day we're fighting with thoughts and flaming temptations. Those days are going to be over. It's going to be bye-bye, never to be seen again. Revelation 20 tells us that when Jesus comes as king, he's going to take the devil and he's going to hurl him, cast him into the lake of fire. And I thought this one up. It's a little alliteration. Into the perpetual prison of punishment. Aren't you proud of me? Perpetual prison of punishment. That's where he's going with also the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet. He's going to throw them into prison and they'll be shut up and forgotten forever. And we don't have to worry about that anymore. Our enemy will be vanquished by the king. That is what we're expecting soon on the last day. Fifthly, then Jesus will take his seat on his glorious throne. For when he's coming down, he's not on a throne. He sits and comes and takes his seat on the throne. Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. But they'll not be all gathered into one place, for he will separate them one from the other, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The goats at his left hand and the sheep at his right hand. The righteous at his right, the evil at his left. And they will be gathered before him as judge. For Jesus says, the Father judges no one, but he's given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. So who's the judge of the earth? It's Jesus, who's coming back on the last day. He'll sit as judge. And to him shall all flesh come on account of sins to give an account of themselves to him. And what a trembling there will be on that day for those at his left hand. And what a jumping in joyful anticipation for those at his right hand. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, says Paul, so that each one may receive good or evil according to what he's done in the body. Now, how are all people going to be judged? The Bible says by books. Books are going to be opened. Many books are going to be opened up before the judge. What's in those books? Well, we read in Revelation, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Also another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, by what they had done. So what's that mean? These are record books. Say record books. Books of records. Books recording things. What are they recording? Everything everybody has ever done for all history. Every word, every thought, every action, every inaction when you were supposed to do what was right. Even the very depths of our hearts and souls and our longings shall be revealed on that day. Now, many people in our world don't think about this. They act as if God doesn't see, as if he doesn't hear, and as if, well, that he's not there, that he's not watching or recording any of these things. Therefore, God says in Isaiah 42, for a long time I've held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself, but now I will cry out like a woman in travail. I will lay waste mountains and hills. They shall be turned back and utterly put to shame who trust in graven images, who say to molten images, you are gods. In other words, watch out if your name is not in the book of life. You're going to be giving an account for every careless word that you ever uttered, Jesus says. Psalm 50, God says, these things you've done, and I've been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself, but now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Oh, how many will wish that they had taken more seriously these words of the Lord on that day, but if they'd taken heed earlier. That's number 5. Then what happens? Jesus is on his throne. Number 6 says he will turn first to his right, to the people at his right, to the good, to Christians, to the righteous. Because Peter says in 1 Peter 4:17, judgment begins with the household of God. It begins with the righteous people. And how do you get to be righteous? How do you get to be at his right hand? Revelation 7 says, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So you tell me, how is it that we get to the right side? Washing our robes, stained, into the blood of the Lamb, and it makes them pure white. In his crimson blood, we get made white or righteous and forgiven. By faith, we are justified in the name of Jesus Christ. By faith alone, a man is justified. So this is how you get to his right side. You believe in Jesus Christ. Call him your Savior. Come to him for salvation. And these are they who also follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And I tell you the truth, their deeds shall be rewarded. For come, O blessed of my Father, Jesus will say, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. Sick and in prison, and you visited me. When did we see you these things? Will say the righteous. The king will say, as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Come, inherit the kingdom. And they'll go away into eternal life. This is what's going to happen very soon on the coming great day. For the sins of some men are conspicuous, says Paul, pointed to judgment, but the sins of others appear later. In other words, sometimes deeds that are done that are evil are seen right away, but other times you don't see it till later. He says, and so also good deeds are conspicuous. And even when they're not, they cannot remain hidden. Every deed ever done in faith in Jesus Christ, love for a neighbor, shall be brought into the light on that day, opened up in the books, and rewarded. That's a great word for us. We're looking forward to it. And God is going to reward us by grace. For even the good deeds that we do are deeds he prepared ahead of time by grace for us to walk in. And then he even does those good deeds in us as we're walking. So he's rewarding us for what he's done in us. Isn't that amazing? What a great God we have. He is giving us lovely things because he loves us. And the scripture says, those who are written in the Lamb's book of life that are slain, they shall go forth on that day like calves leaping from the stall. Hooray! We're entering into freedom. That is what awaiting us on the last day. So be excited about it. But Jesus isn't done. Number seven. Seventh thing is he turns now to those at his left hand, to the wicked, to the evil. And he'll say, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you didn't clothe me. And sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And they, with a greater trembling, will say, Lord, when did we see you these ways? And he will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That is coming soon, on the last day. This is an event that will transpire quickly. And they will go out of his presence into the outer darkness, says the scriptures, away from the light of his presence. He will go in with his people and shut the door. And even if they want to stand outside and knock, he will say, depart from me into the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I want to say this right here. God doesn't want any person to go in there. This was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for men, but man will go there if they continue to reject him. But God wants to save. God, says Peter, is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness. In other words, he's not slow in coming, but he's forbearing towards you. He doesn't wish that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. If anybody goes into the lake of fire, it's his choice. God wants to bring them in. They reject him, and they will receive rejection, though, if they continue in that. And he will not only send them away, I tell you, he will drive them away into that place at the point of his mighty sword. For he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and these are his enemies. Then, number eight, the angels themselves that followed Satan too will be cast into the pit. For scripture says, and this is a very great mystery, that we actually somehow participate in passing judgment upon the princes of darkness, upon the sergeants, upon the corporals, upon the generals in Satan's wicked army. For scripture says, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3, do you not know, says Paul, that we are to judge angels? Do you know what that means? On the day soon to come, the great day, God will take all the enemies who are harassing you spiritually right now, these princes and powers of wickedness in heavenly places. And as the victorious king, he will place them under your feet, as it were, your feet being on their necks, and he will give you a share and a part in pronouncing sentence upon these wicked spirits as they're driven away into the perpetual prison of punishment, the lake of fire. It's victory, friends. VE Day, victory on earth, that Jesus is bringing, and it's victory he's bringing for you. And then number nine, having subdued all these things, every accursed thing being gone, there's but one enemy left to be destroyed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Jesus is then going to take death itself and hurl that too into the lake of fire, never to be seen or heard of again. Wouldn't that be lovely? It's coming, friends. We think about death now, but one day soon, it won't even come to mind. For God says in Isaiah 65, behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. So that leads us to number 10. The last thing here is that forever begins on the last day. It's not just the end of this world. It's the beginning of a beautiful life of joy with God. We shall see the city of God with its streets of gold, transparent as glass, the appearance of the city like a jasper, clear as crystal. We shall see on that day, also with the city, a new world, a new heavens and a new earth. I believe with mountains and streams and forests and seas and creatures all to be enjoyed, a new world, Peter says, in which righteousness dwells and life. We shall also see on that day our bodies shall be raised up as Christ's body was raised, but this time clothed with a resplendent glory such that Jesus says, you shall shine like the sun in the kingdom of your Father. And you'll be rejoicing in those clothes. You'll see your loved ones again in the Lord. And this place, there shall be no more sad goodbyes, but it is forever together in love, in harmony, in a joyful world. And we're going to be seated on the throne with Christ. Revelation chapter 3 says, you who conquer, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. So what is Jesus' throne? It is the Father's throne. God and Jesus will say, come up here, my children, sit with me. That's even better than the angels. The world to come is not given to angels, though they'll be there with us rejoicing. It's given to the sons of men, says the scripture. And you yourselves shall reign with God forever. You'll see his face, and Jesus will turn to you with a smile, looking upon you even personally as he passes by, as if you were his best friend, for you are, and all of us are his best friend. With great love, you shall see the Father's face, and God himself, who saved you by grace, as Paul says. You will see the God who raised you up with Christ. You will see the God who made you sit with Christ in the heavenly places. And you will see him who in the coming ages now plans to show to you the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards you in Christ Jesus, and that into eternity, into forever. This is a great day. We're to be looking forward to it as Christians, and we shall see his face. His name shall be on our foreheads, and we shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 22. So, final word then about that great day. Friends, if this is what's to happen on the last day, and it's true, God's word assures it, and it's not far off, therefore then, rejoice. Look forward to the day. It's a great day. And keep alert, fighting the good fight. Set your hope fully upon the grace that's coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be courageous. Be strong. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called What Happens on the Last Day? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier. And if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are normally at 10 a.m. on Sundays when the virus season is past, and worship Bible study is normally at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. So we encourage you to continue listening online until our website shows we're open again, which may be as soon as the middle of May. We'd love to have you. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, please go to our website at christlutheranchurch.capecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in. And I look forward to sharing God's word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week. In our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. And God bless you.